Habibi Khuda Katlambia ba Azbulan Salawat. Masali ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani la'ini rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi alladhi la yablughu midhatahu al-qailun. ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللانة الدائمة الباقية لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ويقول الذين كفروا لست مرسلا قل كفى بالله شهيدا بيني وبينكم ومن عنده علم الكتاب. We have been discussing in the majalis in memory of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wassalam, on the issue of ilm al-ghayb, in the sense of the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He graciously bestows upon whomever He chooses from His creation, to the angels, the prophets, or the imams, or the awliya that He would choose. And this is the fifth speech on that topic, and I would like to conclude tonight. When we talk about the issue of ilm al-ghayb, one of the common questions, and which is an old question, not a new one, means even the days of Imam this question used to come up, that if the Prophet and the Imams had ilm al-ghayb, then why didn't they use that ilm al-ghayb, the knowledge of the unseen, the events which are going to happen in the future, why didn't they use that knowledge to avert tragedies in their own personal lives? If Ali knew that Ibn Muljim will attack him in the masjid, why did he go to the masjid on that day? If Hussein knew that he will be killed in Karbala, why did he go to Karbala? In my book, Shiaism, Imamat and Vilayat, I dedicate the last chapter on this issue of Ilm al-Ghayb. And there I have even responded to this question of Ilm al-Ghayb and the personal lives of the Imams. And I have used an example which I would not shy away from repeating here, that in my childhood in Dar es Salaam, I used to notice sometimes that there were certain vehicles assigned by the government for the officials. And on those vehicles, there would be a sign which says, for official use only. And I'm just making things very simple here. Using that example, I would say that, you know, ilm al-ghayb also comes with that sign on it. It is implied that the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use ilm al-ghayb and even the power that Allah gives them with ilm al-ghayb, like Asif Barakhiya and Amir al-Mu'mineen, for example. You know, this is for official use only, and it is not to be used in their personal lives. The Prophet and the Imams would use their power of miracle and the extraordinary knowledge only to prove the truth of the faith and their claim as a Nabi or an Imam, but not in their personal matters. And remember, that makes the test and trial for them even more difficult. Obviously, the higher your status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more challenging would be your test and trial. Look at the example of Ibrahim Khalilullah. Nobody went through that process of, you know, the willingness to show this willingness to sacrifice his own son. among those Anbiya in that sense. And so tonight, let me talk about two examples, interestingly related with Amir al-Mu'minin and Karbala, as a conclusion of our discussion that having ilmul ghayb is one thing, using it in the family life, in personal matters is something else. Let's hear salawat, please. The first example I would like to share with you is the example from Amir al-Mu'mineen. Interestingly, that's related to the events of Karbala. Masr bin Mudahim is a very famous historian. He has a book called Waqatu Siffin. He talks about this Battle of Siffin. It is a book dedicated for that. He narrates that there was a person by the name of Harthama bin Salim who had joined the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen when Ali was leaving Kufa to go to Siffin for the Battle of Siffin. Along the way, the army stopped in Karbala, in Nineveh. And Harthama says that I was close to Imam. After the Fajr prayer, I saw that Ali was looking at the earth, the dust of Karbala there, and he started talking. According to one narration, he even picked it up and started talking to that dust, the earth of Karbala. Wahan ayyatuha turba. How fortunate are you, O the earth of this land. La yahshuranna minka aqwamun. Such people will be raised from you on the day of Qiyamat. يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Who will enter the Jannah without any questioning. We have narrations besides this from Nasr bin Mudahim, even from other historians, even some Sunni writers who actually talk about this issue, that Imam even addressed Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Ali addressed Hussein and he said, Sabran ya Aba Abdullah. You know, oh Hussein, maintain sabr and patience when your time comes. And then he says, you know, what have I done to Banu Umayyah that they are after me and my children? And so this issue is there in different wordings, but I would like to focus on Harthama bin Salim. Now, Harthama bin Salim was not really a Shia or a follower of Ali as far as the Aqidah and belief is concerned. He was, you know, he would go with the flow. However, he had a wife who was a devout, follower of Ali ibn Abi Talib, with a strong love for Ali. And so when he came back to Kufa, you know, he wanted to kind of tease or taunt his wife. So according to one narration, he says directly to her. In another, he was talking to his companions in such a way that she would also hear what he's saying in the other room. And he was narrating that, you know, he was saying that, look at Ali. You know, he sometimes says things very unusual. You know, he was sitting there talking to the earth of Karbala and saying this and that. His wife heard that. Harthama was taking this lightly as a joke. But the wife, who was a believer of Ali, she says, أيها الرجل, O man, فَإِنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَمْ يَقُلْ إِلَّا حَقًّا. O man, you should know that Amir al-Mu'mineen does not say anything but the truth. And so if Ali has said it, this is something, you know, the truth, and this is what's going to happen. And so this is the narration of the time of Siffin when the army came back to Kufa, Harthama bin Salim having this conversation with his wife. Years passed by until, you know, the time of Yazid comes. Ibn Ziyad comes from Basra, appointed by Yazid to take control of Kufa. Imam Hussein alayhi salam had already left Mecca with the destination in his mind was Kufa. So Ibn Ziyad assembled a force, you know, to counter Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and Harthama bin Salim now joins this army of Ibn Ziyad. On the day of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was basically making his last khutbah, telling to the people of Yazid that, you know, don't you know me? Why you are doing this to me? On that day of Ashura, Harthama bin Salim remembered the incident that he had with Ali bin Abi Talib when he was going to Siffin. He remembers that Ali's army camped at Nainawa in Karbala. And he remembered the words of Ali bin Abi Talib. This is where he decided to not be with the army of Yazid. He separated himself and somehow came to Hussein ibn Ali. And there he narrated this story that I was here with the army of Ali where we were going to Siffin, and this is what I heard your father saying. And I realized what he said is the truth. At that time, after he narrated this, Harthama, when he narrated this to Hussein ibn Ali, Imam asked him a very simple question. Ama'ana, ama'alayna. So, O Harthama, what is your stand today? Are you with us or are you against us? This is where Harthama's test comes in, and Allah knows better what will happen to him. He expressed his desire not to be part of this conflict because he says that I have a young daughter in Kufa, and if I side with you, Ibn Ziyad will harass them and torture them, referring to his family. When Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam heard that Harthama is not willing to be with him and support him, neither what he wants to continue to be with Yazidi army, then Imam said something which is very, very important for us to understand. فَمْضِي حَيْسُ لَا تَرَى لَنَا مَقْتَلًا وَلَا تَسْمَعَ لَنَا صَوْتًا. O Harthama, if this is your decision, that you don't want to be in Yazidi's army nor with us, then go away so far that you don't witness our killing, nor hear our sound of asking for help. فَوَلَّذِي نَفْسُ حُسَيْنٍ بِيَدِهِ. For by Allah whose hand is in Ali, in whose hand is Hussein's soul, لَا يَسْمَعُ وَاعِيَتَنَا أَحَدٌ فَلَا يُعِينُنَا إِلَّا أَكَبَّهُ اللَّهُ بِوَجْهِ فِي جَهَنَّمْ. For by Allah in whose hand is Hussein's soul, no one who listens to our plea for help and does not help us today, but that Allah will put him into Jahannam by his head. So go away so far that you don't even hear when I call people for help. He's saying when I would say, you know, hal min nasirin yansuruna. Go away, because if you listen, hear that and you don't respond, you are doomed. The conclusion of this narration of Harthama bin Salim about what Imam Ali alayhi salam said, number one, this is predicting an event in the future, and that is the dimension of Ilm al-Ghayb. But realize that Ilm al-Ghayb is not used for personal matters. It becomes more challenging and difficult. Salawat Pandey Akbar. Another example is from Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself. I have read the narration of Karbala in many sources, including in Tabari, the famous historian of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And in the Tariq Tabari, there was something I noticed. It really caught my attention when I was making the notes. This is during the days I was still studying in Qom. And something very interesting, you know, came there, that when he was narrating the journey of Imam Hussein alayhi salam from Makkah, where eventually he reaches to Karbala, You know, he talks about this different stations that Imam's caravan would stop for resting, you know, there. Now, these places are known as manazil, manzil. Manzil basically is what we call, you know, rest area when we travel by car in North America. You know, by highways, you reach to these points where you can stop there, you know, refresh yourself, have coffee or some food, or even refuel your vehicle so you can continue your journey, or even rest for a while. And so these were the manazil, and the guides who would take the caravans, they knew, for example, that from manzil A to manzil B, it will take 2 days or 1 day. And so when it comes to the issue that when they take their food or provision, and especially water, remember, the guide will tell them that, okay, today we are going to have 1 day's journey or 2 days' journey. So they would take water just sufficient enough for that journey, the duration of 1 or 2 days. Because they would have dedicated camels who would carry the water bags. And they didn't want to overburden those camels, otherwise the speed of the journey would be reduced. Now, Tabari narrates that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam's caravan stopped at a manzil, which is known as Sharaf, early in the morning after Fajr, when the caravan was getting ready to continue the journey, Imam called the young people of the caravan who were responsible to fill the water bags and put them on that, you know, camels dedicated for that. He says, Tabari says, Hatta nazala Sharaf, you know, until he reached to the point of Sharaf, the manzil. Falamma kana fi sahar, and when it was the dawn time, amara futyanahu, he called the young ones in the caravan. And what does he say? He says, fastiqu min al-ma, you know, get the water. Now, this command would be sufficient. Then they know how much water we have to take. But this time, according to Tabari, he says, fastiqu min al-ma fa'akthiru, you know, take the water, you know, fill the water bags, fa'akthiru, and take extra. The point is, why take extra, which was not normal at that time? Because when you take extra, you know, the burden on the camels will increase and their speed will reduce. This is where we come to realize that that was the same day when the caravan of Hussein continued the journey. Just before Zuhr time, this is where Imam alayhi salam came face to face with the cavalry force of Hur. And when they came to Imam, you know the rest of the story. You know, Imam sensed that they are the signs of thirst was visible. They had run out of water. And the very first thing, before even talking to them or ask them whether you are friend or, you know, enemies, he actually called the young ones and he said, use the water to quench the thirst of these people, as well as their animals, the horses and the camels. And so when Imam had commanded the youths on that day at the Fajr time, fa'akthiru, take the water and take extra today, he knew that today we are going to confront the army of Hur, the cavalry force. Imam Hussein is the Imam of Nur, the Imam of Light. He is using now his extraordinary knowledge, Ilmul Ghaib, as a means of softening the hearts of those who have the potential of guidance. He will do whatever is possible in order to bring the people who are pure in their heart, you know, to the right path. And you saw the result at the end. This kindness of Hussein ibn Ali, but remember the kindness was actually, and connecting it with this issue, fa'akthiru, take extra water today. And this is where I'm linking ilm al-ghayb with the purpose of guiding people. Hussein ibn Ali used his ilm al-ghayb about meeting with Hur's army by taking extra water so he can, you know, quench their thirst. The same Husayn ibn Ali doesn't use that ilm al-ghayb on the day of Ashura for himself, for his companion, for his family member, for his children. Why? The higher status you have, the more difficult is the test and trial that you have to go through. Remember that example of Hussein getting extra water for Hur and his people. But on the day of Ashura, what happened? And this is where we have to realize the greatness of our Imams. That they have been given this power, this special knowledge, but it comes kind of with a understanding for official use only. I hope these examples that I have presented to you, even especially from Tabari, you know, gives you the understanding of how do you reconcile the issue of ilm al-ghayb with the personal lives of the Imams, alayhim salatu wassalam. آج شب جمعہ بھی ہے تو مختصراً مصائب کی طرف بھی ہم آنا چاہیں گے کہ امام حسین علیہ السلام کے لیے عاشور کے دن بہت بڑا امتحان تھا. علم رکھتے ہوئے, قوت معجزہ رکھتے ہوئے بھی, ولایت رکھتے ہوئے امام ان سبا تمام مصائب کو برداشت کرتے ہیں خدا وند عالم کی رضا کے خاطر. اگر آپ دیکھیں وہی حسین, سب سے مشکل مرحلہ حسین کے لیے عاشور کے دن بہت سے تھے. اس میں سے ایک وہ تھا کہ جب جناب علی اکبر جوان بیٹا جاتا ہے اپنے جہاد کے لیے, اپنے مقابلے کے لیے, جیت کے آتا ہے, آنے کے بعد حسین ابن علی نے سے بیٹے نے کیا مانگا. علی اکبر جو ہیں آتے ہیں کہتے ہیں یا ابتا, العطش قد قتلنی وثقل الحديد اجحدنی, بابا پیاس نے مجھے مار دیا ہے, اسلحے کی سنگینی نے مجھے تھکا دیا ہے, کوئی سبیل ہے کہ پانی کا ایک قطرہ مل سکے؟ عجیب غریب امتحان ہے حسین کے لیے, باپ کے حیثیت سے بھی, امام کے حیثیت سے بھی. بیٹا اتنا بڑا مقابلہ جیت کے آتا ہے, ایک شجی بہادر کو زیر خاک کرتا ہے, اور انعام کے طور پہ کیا مانگتا ہے؟ صرف پانی کا ایک قطرہ تاکہ میں اپنے کو اور طاقتور بنا سکوں, جا کے مقابلہ کر سکوں. لیکن حسین ابن علی کے پاس کوئی جواب نہ تھا, حسین کے پاس پانی ہی نہیں تھا. حسین سب سے زیادہ پیاسے تھے. اگر کوئی بندہ تھا کہ عاشور کے دن سب سے زیادہ پیاسا کون تھا؟ وہ حسین ابن علی تھے. اس لیے کہ حسین کو معلوم تھا پانی کب بند ہوگا. حسین نے پانی کا استعمال سب سے پہلے کم کر دیا تھا تاکہ دوسرے زیادہ استعمال کر سکیں. حسین کس طرح سے بیٹے سے کہتے کہ میرے پاس پانی نہیں ہے؟ بس کہتے ہیں کہ میری زبان کو اپنی زبان میں رکھ لو. آج کل کے جوان پوچھتے ہیں حسین نے یہ کیوں کیا, عجیب غریب یہ عمل تھا, ویری اسٹرینج وہ کہتے ہیں. اس فلسفے کو سمجھے, حسین چاہتے تھے بیٹے سے کہیں کہ بیٹا تیرا باپ تجھ سے بھی زیادہ پیاسا ہے. اور جیسے ہی اکبر نے بابا کی زبان کو اپنے ذہن میں رکھتے ہیں احساس ہو جاتا ہے کہ بابا تو مجھ سے بھی زیادہ پیاسے ہیں. اب حسین نے صرف ایک جملہ کہا ہے کہ بیٹا جاؤ, تیرے جد آ چکے ہیں, وہ پانی کا کاسا ایک لے کے تیرے انتظار میں ہے, جاؤ تجھے سیراب کر دیں گے اس طرح سے کہ کبھی بھی پیاس دوبارہ نہیں لگے گی. عزاداروں نے حسین اکبر جاتے تو ہیں جہاد کے لیے واپس, لیکن اکبر یہ خلق نبوی کے مظہر تھے, ان کے ذہن میں بابا کا وہ چہرہ آخر وقت تک رہا کہ میں نے ایک سوال کیا، پانی مانگا، لیکن بابا پانی نہ دے سکے۔ حسین کے چہرے پر جو ایک لحاظ سے مایوسی کے جو آثار تھے کہ میں بیٹی کو پانی تک نہ دے سکا، آخر تک وہ اکبر کے ذہن میں یہ تصویر گھومتی رہی۔ اس لیے آپ دیکھیں گے جب گھوڑے سے زمین پر گرے ہیں، سینے میں برسی لگی ہے، لیکن پھر بھی بلند آواز میں کہتے ہیں بابا آپ پر سلام ہو۔ پھر ایک جملہ کہتے ہیں بابا میرے جد آ چکے ہیں، انہوں نے مجھے سیراب کر دیا ہے، اکبر اب آپ کا پیاسا نہیں۔ یہ جملہ اس لیے کہا تھا تاکہ بابا کے سلسلے میں ایک احساس شرمندگی تھی، بابا میں نے آپ کو شرمندہ کر دیا، لیکن اب مایوس نہ ہو، مجھے جد نے آ کے سیراب کر دیا ہے، اکبر اب آپ کا پیاسا نہیں۔ الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا اي منقلب ينقلبون۔ خداوند اس قلیل عباد قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہ کو بخش دے، ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خداوند ہم میں وہ حکمت دے، وہ علم دے، وہ نور دے کہ ہم حقیقت کو صحیح معنوں میں سمجھ سکیں، صراط مستقیم پر باقی رہ سکیں، افراد و تفریط، غلو اور تقصیر کے ان مصیبت سے نجات دے۔ خداوندہ جہاں جہاں بھی انسان جہاں بھی ہیں، خداوندہ ان کو علی اور آل علی کا واسطہ، ان کو کرونا وائرس سے محفوظ رکھ۔ جو مومنین بیمار ہیں خصوصاً کرونا وائرس کے سلسلے میں، محمد آل محمد کے واسطہ ان کو شفاء کاملہ اور عاجلہ عنایت فرما۔ جو گزر چکے ہیں ان مصیبت میں خصوصاً اس ایک سال میں، خداوندہ ان کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ان کے نیکیوں کو قبول فرما، ان کو محمد آل محمد کے جوار نے جگہ عنایت فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔